It's certainly good to look out in the audience this evening to see all of you here. When the rain comes like it is, you don't know who's going to float in and who's not, who's going to float away. But we are blessed with the good rain that we're having, and so we're thankful for that. I remember Julys when it would just be hot as a firecracker and drier than that, and the crops die, and the grass dies, and the trees die, and those aren't good years. So the Lord is blessing us this year with abundance of rain, and for that, we indeed need to be thankful. It's good to see all of you here tonight. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to take them and turn to Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 3, Ezekiel chapter 3. We have some that are visiting with us tonight. We're thankful that you're with us tonight and invite you back anytime you have the opportunity to visit with us at our services here at Market Street. You turn to Ezekiel chapter 3. You remember that this is written by the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel's name means God will strengthen. This is really, in Ezekiel, is God's charge. As you turn to chapter 3, God's charge to the prophet Ezekiel to go to the house of Israel and to give them the message. The message is, we find in verse 4, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. It is not Ezekiel. It's not Ezekiel's message. It's coming from the prophet Ezekiel. But it's really the message of the Lord. These people are the hearers, the people of Israel, are those who are in bondage. They're exiles. They're there because of their rebellion against God. They're displaced persons. They're despondent. They're discouraged. They need encouragement. They need things that will strengthen them. They need instructions. And so God says to Ezekiel, I want you to go and I want you to give these people a message. Now, what they do with the message is going to be up to them. Sometimes the messenger is not treated like he should be. And he says, that's not going to be your problem, but your job is to go and to give them this message. Before he was to do that, he is to receive the words into his heart, to hear with his ears. We pick up in verse 10, he says, moreover, he said unto him, son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive into thine heart, hear them with thine ears, and go and get thee to them of captivity, and to the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me the voice of a great rushing, saying, blessed be the glory of the Lord from his place. I also heard the noise of the wings and the living creatures, and one that toucheth one another, and the noise of the wheels over against them, and the noise of a great rushing. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness and the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Then came I unto the children of captivity in Telabab, and dwelt by the river of Cherbar, and I sat where they sat, and remained there astonished with them 7 days. I think about what he says here. He says, I'm preparing myself to go and to speak the word of the Lord to these people, and I go and I'm taken away, and I come to this place where they are, and I sat where they sat. This evening, I want to talk to you about sitting where they sat. I sat where they sat. You know, I think about how oftentimes we think about what the prophet is saying here, and I think lessons that we can learn from Ezekiel, from this prophecy, from what he says here, when he says, I was told to receive the things into my heart, to prepare myself as I'm going to go to do this work, to find these people who need to be encouraged, to be strengthened, to be helped, to be brought back to where they should be. Not that it's God's responsibility, they had the choice. But God in his long-suffering greatness and grace is wanting them to understand something. He says, I want you to understand. I want them to understand. But before you can go, I want you to go and sit where they sit. And that's what he did. Why did he do this? Why did he do it? He did it to gain a better understanding. He would gain insight of these people when you go and you sit where they sit. I remember after getting out of college and I went to work, and So you know, my degree was in management. So I went to work in management. I was working at a plant. There was a plant of about 1,200 people. Most of them were women, so I had to deal mostly with women, but there were some men that were there. But you know what I had to learn to do? I had to learn the job. Now, I had learned all about managing people. I learned the personalities, and I learned and studied all these things in the book, but I really need to learn about the job. You know what they did? They didn't just set me in there and say, okay, go in here and sit down and read about it. Go in here and sit down and read these books about what we're doing out here on these lines. You know where I went? I went out there on those lines where the work was being done. In some cases, I sat down where they sat. I performed the jobs that they did. And why did I do that? Well, I did that because I could gain a better understanding of what the job was if I knew how to do it, if I knew something about it. I had never, it was a sewing plant. I had never threaded a needle in my life. Why would I need to? You know, and then on all that, I got married. And my wife is going to take care of sewing all those buttons up for me and all that sewing I needed. I didn't, but you know, I even took home ec. And I never had to thread a needle in home ec. Bless my home ec teachers. You know what she did? She'd call, I won't call the name because it's on the internet. She'd call this girl. She went to church with us when I was growing up. And she'd call her over and say, I thread this needle for David. I never had to thread my sewing machine. I'd get over there and I'd try to sew something. I couldn't sew it exactly right. You know what? She'd call her over and say, can you help David sew this? I never told them when I got the job at Lee how bad I was at sewing. But when I got there, I had to sit down where they sat. Had to gain an understanding of what the job was so that I could really be a person who could take care of leading and directing them. And so that's what Ezekiel's told him. He's told to go, and he comes and he finds himself sitting where they sat to gain an understanding that he could help them and give them a stronger zeal, a determination to become what they ought to be. They've made mistakes. They've made terrible mistakes. But then to sit down where they are at and to gain an understanding. I think about passages of Scripture that deal with this. I think about 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 26 when it says, suffer what? We are to suffer those that suffer. You know, we're to Romans chapter 12 talks about rejoicing with those that rejoice and weeping with those that weep. We're to suffer with one another. If one suffers, we all to suffer. And so we see this kind of idea in Scripture in the New Testament. And that is exactly what is happening here in Ezekiel. He's trying to get them to understand. He's trying to get Ezekiel to understand before he goes and preaches to them, this is what it's about. Before you criticize them, before you go and tell them they need to do better, you need to understand where they're at. Reminds me of the old Indian proverb that says, before you criticize, you need to walk a mile in his moccasins. Walk a mile in his moccasins. Walk like he walks. Understand where he's at. Then you have a right to say, now this is what you ought to be doing. To go and to tell them something that they don't want to hear and you don't understand where they're at. You need to gain that understanding. I think about this and I think about this point here, and that is how this is really the example of Christ and of Paul. When we turn over to Philippians chapter 2, I'm turning my Bible to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, in verse 5, Paul writes and he says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. I want you to have the mind of Christ. I want you to be like Christ. Well, what exactly is this mind of Christ? What is it to have the mind of Christ? Well, the mind of Christ is this mind, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made of himself no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and being made in likeness of the man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, I will suggest to you that what Paul is reminding us here is that Jesus came and sat where we sit. It's one thing for Jesus to say, well, I won't tell you, you've got to live above sin. You've got to overcome temptation. It's one thing to say that. It's another thing to say, I know you can do it because I have done it. And that's exactly what Jesus could do. He could say, I've been tempted at all points like you are. I understand what it is to be tempted. I understand what it is to be hungry. I understand what it is to be tired. I understand what it is. Because I've sat where you've sat. He left the glory of heaven. He came and lived among men. And he faced all the obstacles that are there. Not only do I see this, but the example of Jesus, but also I think about the example of the Apostle Paul. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he refers to him doing this in the same sense and following the example of Jesus, following and having that mind that Jesus had. He says in verse 19 of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he says, for though I be free from all men, I have made myself servant unto all that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law as without law, not being without law to God, but under law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. He did what? To the Jews he became a Jew. To the Greeks he became a Greek. To the weak he became weak. He became all things to all men. For what reason? To save some. I want to tell you that this is very important for us to realize. He was a servant of all. He was a servant to all, and he did this by putting himself in their place. It's real easy for us sometimes to look at somebody's situation and say, well, they ought to do better than that. Well, that's right. Maybe they should. But have you ever sat where they sit? Have you ever walked a mile in their moccasins? Have you ever done that? You need to. Before we start off in the mode of criticism, and before we start off in the mode of correcting, we need to make sure we understand this example, and that is what Paul is saying. There are some people that don't do things they ought to do. That's true. But there are people who need to be understood where they're at and why they're where they are. And that's exactly what God is telling Ezekiel. Before you can really strengthen these people, you need to have an understanding. You need to have this mind which Christ had, which is the mind of God. God could have just continued to tell men what to do to be saved. But God didn't do that. He came and sat where we sit, that we might be taught by him. And the point is that we might teach, that we might show ourselves to them and be an example to them as we're sitting where they sit. I want to tell you, this can be a very difficult thing. It is a very difficult thing to put yourself in a position and to come to a position to sit where somebody else is. Because you know what? None of us like that. None of us like to be put in a position we're not totally comfortable with. We like it the way we like it. You know, we've grown up and we've always been wherever we are. We've always been the family we've been a part of, and we know how it works. We know all the rules, we know all the ins, we know all the outs. But you know what? Everybody doesn't have the same ins and outs. The same people don't always have the same house. The rules aren't always the same for everybody. Everybody doesn't have the same personality. All these things are different. And so sometimes it's real easy for us to look from our vantage point and say, well, you know what? They ought to be doing better. Well, God's telling Ezekiel, you go and you sit where they sit. Paul is telling us to have the mind of Christ who did that. Paul is saying, this is what I did in trying to convert and to influence and to encourage people to do right. What did I do? I sat where they sat. I became all things to all men that I might save some. You know what that tells me? It's hard. It's not easy. But it can be done. And I think that's something we need to understand. And the applications that are of sitting where they sat, I think is most difficult. I think how it is that when we come to a point that we really begin to sit where people sit, when we come to sit with one who is sick, somebody who's going through a terrible illness, somebody who's sitting with somebody who is going through a terrible illness in their sickness, and they're at the hospital, they're at the nursing, they're at their home, wherever they're at, and they're sitting there day in and day out. You know, when you go and you sit with people, that are sitting like that, you learn to understand them. You learn to understand what they're about, what they're going through. You know, somebody who's lonely, somebody who's lost their mate. You know, I don't know what that is. I've never lost my mate. But many of you have. I'll tell you what, you can say, I've sat where they sat. But you know what? I can go and I can sit with somebody who's lost their mate, and I can understand maybe just a little bit about what they're going through, what that is about. But you know what? It's easy for me to start telling them how to do something when I haven't been there myself. So I need to go and I need to sit where they sit. I need to experience something about what they're doing so that I can truly understand. And somebody says, well, why? You don't have to do that. I believe that's what Paul is saying he did, that he might save some. I believe that's what Jesus did when he came to this earth and gave up God being the God who had to have no suffering of any kind and came to this earth and suffered temptations and hunger and all the things he suffered. Why? So that he might save us. He did that for us. Then why can't I do that for somebody else? Rather than just stopping and saying, let me tell you what you need to do. Because I'm going to tell you, there are a lot of people who like to tell people what to do. They're always ready to give you the instructions of how to fix it and how to do it right. But I want to tell you what. Go and sit where somebody sits. And then see if you have a change of mind. A change in a better understanding of really what it takes to sit where they, you know, those people that are lonely, those people who are waiting for that. The most difficult thing is going through these times. I want to tell you, it's never fun. It's never fun to go and sit. I have been, and you probably have too, gone to a home or gone to the hospital or gone to the nursing home facility, wherever it may be, and somebody is just at the point of death. I never liked those situations. But I want to tell you what, it helps me learn a whole lot about those kind of situations. And I want to tell you what, I think it helps me when I'm in those situations to deal with those situations. You know, the wise man said in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, in verse 2, he said, it's better to go to the house of mourning in the house of feasting. I think we need to learn that we need to go and we need to sit where people sit. We need to endure some of the things they endure. You know, you say, well, why do we go and endure? Somebody's going through a hardship. Why should I have to go? I just need to tell them this is what you got to do to get out of the hardship. Because you know what? The reason why they're in that situation maybe is because of their own making. Well, that's right. Sometimes people are in the situation they're in because of their own making. Even though that may be the case, I still think it helps. It helps if I will try to get an understanding of where they are. And I think that is what Ezekiel is doing. What the Lord is telling you, you go and you sit where they sit. You're sitting there. Why? So that you may gain some understanding, that you might understand their needs in a better way. I think about how it is that when we go and we sit where they sit, I think we come to an understanding of knowing better about people and the people around us and the things that people go through. As I think about this, I'm turning my Bible back to Matthew chapter 25, and it's a text that doesn't really deal necessarily with this, but I think it makes a point that I think is very important, and I think comes about because of people who aren't so self-absorbed in self but really are taking themselves and being servants. They're sitting where others sit. And this is the judgment scene, as you'll remember, beginning in verse 31, where he has all these nations gathered before him, and he's dividing the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left, verse 33. He tells those on his right hand, verse 34, come, you blessed my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you for the foundation of the world. He says in verse 35, for I was a hungry, and you gave me meat. I was a thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. And then the righteous shall answer him and say, Lord, when saw we a hunger or fed thee or thirsty or gave thee drink? When did we see this? He says, well, inasmuch as you did it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Ultimately, that's what he says. Inasmuch as you've done it to others, it wasn't me that was going through it, it was others. You went and you sat where others sit. You walked a mile in their shoes. You understood them. And you know what? When times came, you served. You were able to help them. You were able to encourage them. You were able to help strengthen them. That's important. That's important for those people that want to be servants of God. Ezekiel, as a prophet of God, is being told, go and sit where they sat. I sat where they sat, he said. We need to learn the idea of being subject to one another, clothed with humility, as Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. We need to understand that when we do this, when we do what we see here in Matthew chapter 25, what we are doing is we're doing exactly what we're told to do, and that is in Philippians chapter 2 in verse 2 and 3, that we are to esteem the other better than ourselves. You know, I'm not sitting there and saying, well, I'm above going and sitting where they're sitting. I'm above going and visiting that person who is sick or that person who is in prison or that person. No, I'm not above those people. No, I'm going to go and I'm going to sit where they sit. I'm going to try to understand them. Why? So that I might save them. I'm not doing this to coddle them in their sin. No, that's not what he's talking about doing. He's not saying I'm going to go sit and I'm going to make them feel good about their sin. No, that's not at all what we need to do. As a matter of fact, I have talked to people who kind of get this idea. They want to go and sit where they sit and sympathize with them, pat them on the back, and say, oh, terrible. It's terrible, terrible. No, sometimes sin is sin. And you just need to say, you're here because of where you are. But you know they're going to take it better when you're sitting there with them, understanding where they are than they are if you're just sitting there from afar saying, here's what your problem is. But you've never come to see me. You've never talked to me about this before, but now you've got the answer to the problem. We don't need to condone sin, but yet we need to be those people who can provide guidance, discipline, demonstration of right from wrong, as a standing firm example. And that's the applications we can have when we sit where they sat. And finally, what this then does, it allows us to look to the future. The fact of the matter is the future and the need in the church is ongoing. I guess the older you get, and I don't consider myself old and gone yet, but I'm older than I used to be. My baby boy is getting married Friday. Y'all know that? Y'all know that, don't you? Well, you know what? I have no more children at home. Well, he's already gone from home anyway. He even took the dog, as I mentioned that the other day. Carrie mentioned that. She was taken back by the dog being gone. But all that aside, you start thinking. And you know what? Life goes on. Life goes on. It doesn't stop. You know what? I think back at my life, and I think back to 25, 30 years ago when I first got married. I think back to when I first started preaching. I think about when we lived in Arab. I think about people there. I think about problems there. I think about people and things they went through there. I think, you know what? Life doesn't change that much. People don't really, I mean, yeah, things have changed in those 30-something years. Yeah, the internet has come, cell phones. I mean, we never even thought about something like this when I first got married. We were living there. Never. I did get a pager during the time I lived there, and I thought that was really something. They page you and say, all right, call this number. And so Carrie would page me sometimes, say, call home. I would say, okay, call home. That was really something. But things like that change. But ultimately, really, things don't change. People still have problems. Still, people are still lonely. People are still going through hardship. People are still having difficulties. You know what? It's the way it is. And you know what? In a few years, the young ones will be the ones who are leading. Market Street Church is going to be led by people who are young today. If you don't have young today, where will the Market Street Church be in 20 years, 25 years, 30 years? You know what? Somebody comes up to me and says, David said, oh, I'm sorry the baby was crying this morning. I've had mothers go out and tell me that in my life. And not long ago, somebody made a comment to me as they were walking down the building. I'm sorry. I said, don't you worry about it to me. It's no problem. All that's just a hearty amen. It's a hearty amen. You know what? When you don't have a baby crying, when you don't have some things going on with babies in the audience, then you know what? There's a problem. But sometimes people say, well, you know, kids are kids. Kids are rambunctious. Kids are, you know, well, you know what? Yeah, kids are. You know why? Because they hadn't learned any better yet. But you know what? I can understand that, kid, because I've been a kid. I've walked a mile in those shoes. I've done things I shouldn't have done. You know what? I want to be tender with those kids, just like I needed somebody to be tender with me. I want people to be tender with me as a parent. I don't need a parent who's already parented their kids telling me how wrong my parenting is. Maybe my parenting does need changing. But you know what? I need to sit where they sat. I've sat where they've sat. I've had kids. I've had kids that have done right. I've had kids that have done wrong. I've been happy at times and I've been sad at times. But you know what? The bottom line is we're just trying to help each other get to heaven. We're just trying to encourage people. And so I'm sitting where they sat. And so in leadership, I need to do that. As I'm in leadership, I need to be encouraging others to step up, to step into the role, to step into these places and to do these things. Somebody says, well, no, we don't need that. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. There's work to be done. What's going to be going on 15 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now? What's going to be going on? Who's going to be doing it if we don't encourage and let these people step into the roles where we have sat? Older parents, older grandparents need to consider one another. They need to consider these young people and how they can be an example to those that are around about them. This attitude is desperately needed in the church today. They're babes in Christ. They're people who are weak in faith. They're people who are trying to grow and develop their faith. They're not where they ought to be, but what are we going to do? Say, well, they're not where they ought to be, so therefore, y'all just sit over here on the side, and when y'all get there, we will call you. No, that's not the way you do it. You let them get up. They're going to make a mistake. That's okay. That's how you learn. But they're going to learn, and they're going to do better, and they're going to get better. In 25 years from now, when I'm not here, or I'm old and I can't see and I can't walk and I can't talk, whatever it is, and they're here and they're serving, I can say, well, I remember back when. But you see, I can stop that if I just don't remember to sit where they sat and encourage them. Really, what this bottom line is, it's the golden rule. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. As you would have men do unto you, do you even so unto them? That's what he's doing. He's saying, I want you to sit where they sat. Ezekiel says, I sat where they sat. I came to understand what it was all about. Then I could talk to them. Then I could preach to them. Then I could tell them. Then I could correct them. Then I could instruct them. And may God help us out. It may be that you're here this evening. You're not a member of the body of Christ. We'd love to see you come tonight and say, I want to be a child of God. I want to be what the Bible wants me to be. I'm not asking for anybody to do anything other than what's found in this book tonight. I don't want you to be a Market Street Christian. I want you to be a Christian. I want you to be a disciple of Christ. And tonight you may say, I want to be a disciple. I want to be a learner. And I want to do what he's told me to do. And that may be that you know that tonight he's told you that you need to repent of your sins, confess your faith in him as the Son of God, and to be buried with him in baptism. And tonight, if you want to do that, then we will do that tonight and help you as you're striving to make your life what it ought to be. Anyway, we can assist you tonight in making your life right with God. Let us know how we can help you while we stand and sing. Won't you come?